My family moved to the rural town I grew up in to escape to a quiet, calm atmosphere. Acres of land separated the neighbors' houses from each other, and grass meadows were spread out hundreds of yards. Couldn't invite over any of my old friends from the town that I formerly lived in, and the houses were too far from each other to approach any of the neighboring homes. Well, on my own, to meet any of the other children. I spent most of my time in the first few weeks living there, in the front yard of our house. Sitting on the lawn, playing with my toys as my mother sat on the porch watching me. Although most of my memory from our short period living in that house is hazy, I distinctly remember a few events that transpired there while I was five. It began when I was sitting in front of the television, flipping through the channels and searching for my favorite show, a children's program featuring singing and talking animals. It was only on in the afternoons, and I couldn't find any station playing an episode, so I continued to search the channels. We didn't receive an abundance of channels in the town, but I could find a couple popular stations. I landed on a show I was familiar with. I remember glancing at the corner of the screen and discerning it was a children's station broadcasting various well-known shows. My wide eyes glanced up at the bright flashing television screen. Cartoon animals were helping children learn how to share. Joyful melody played throughout the episode. The following week, I was sitting in front of the television, and I stumbled across the children's station again, but it was broadcasting a different program. I couldn't remember the title of the show I found, but I can vividly remember everything that happened. A group of children were gathered around a tree. They were all holding hands and gazing up with cheerful smiles on their faces. They were singing a song in unison. I don't remember the words of the song, but I remember it was involving something about the Lord and contained words and phrases like happiness and love. It sounded like children's gospel music, and the children singing together on the screen resembled the groups of children singing in the pews at the church my parents had taken me to before. I heard the sound of footsteps approaching towards the living room. My mother's chipper voice asked me what I was watching. I don't remember what I replied, but a puzzled expression grew on her face, and she announced that lunch was ready and gestured me to the kitchen. A short while after, I stumbled upon the show again. Something immediately began to unsettle me as I watched. There wasn't anything overtly strange about it, but something seemed wrong. I began to feel anxious, and a familiar lump grew in my throat. Accompanied by a knot in my stomach, I felt growing whenever I felt nervous about a situation at school or with my friends. But the uneasiness developed into something that I hadn't recalled before. Like I was watching something I wasn't supposed to see. A voice narrated the importance of sharing, and the camera focused on a group of children sitting on a carpeted floor, toys spread out before them. The film appeared to be of poor quality, and intermittent bursts of static distorted the screen. Three of the children sat in a circle playing with the alphabet bricks, and two girls talked to a doll about the size of a baby, with medium-length blonde hair and a pink shirt and denim jeans. Another group of children were filling in coloring books at a table. The girls were acting out some sort of story with the doll. It seemed like a normal game a child would play with their dolls, but every so often between their sentences, I heard something that didn't sound quite right. Like a strange word or phrase. I can't remember what they were saying, but I remember feeling disquieted. The bursts of static between each clip began to increase. The image and the audio became more distorted. It only lasted a fraction of a second, but I caught a glimpse of an image flashing across the screen during each interruption. It was so fast that it couldn't be discerned if you were paying close attention. I only caught a glimpse of red as the image flashed across the screen for the last time. Suddenly, the image returned to normal. The audio was smooth, and there was no interruption in between clips. The children continued to play with their toys. I recall having a nightmare when I went to sleep that night. I remember that it was so vivid that I wondered if it had really happened for a long time. I was playing in a playground, and I remembered visiting my old town. I ran around underneath the warm sun. The sky was bright blue, and the leaves of the trees gently rustled in the wind. I climbed up the stairs of the playground and rolled down the slides. I climbed onto the platform and gripped the edge of the slide I had just pushed myself through, and was preparing to roll through it again. And just as I let go of the edge, I felt my body slowly sliding down the cool surface of the slide. I saw a face at the bottom of the tunnel. It was red. Its eyes were black with no visible pupils. It was sitting, perched at the top of the slide, just staring at me through the tunnel. I was overwhelmed by impending fear. My mouth opened to form a scream, but no sounds escaped. My eyes fluttered open, and I tried to adjust my vision to the darkness. I was in my room, in my bed, underneath the comforter. The red illuminated digits on my alarm clock read 3:34 a.m. My body was drenched in cold sweat. My face was stained with tears. I reached out my hand into the pitch blackness to turn on the light. My hand caught hold of string. I jerked it down. My heart thumped so loudly I could hear it in my head. I sighed in relief when the light turned on. The face of that figure never left my mind. As it stared at me, I could feel the malevolent nature it emanated. Everything seemed to be normal the following morning. Our neighbors visited for the first time, and we sat down for lunch together at the table as they asked me questions about school and my favorite toys and movies and television shows. My mom explained that I hadn't begun preschool yet, and she was planning on finding a school soon. We had a conversation about local schools. After the guests left, the show was playing when I turned on the television. The same group of children were playing a game of hide-and-seek, and the camera was following them. A song was playing in the background, an animated and whimsical tune. The camera followed their steps as they ran through the doors, hid behind corners, crawled through tight spaces, and crouched behind furniture. A boy leaned against a wall, covered his eyes with his hands. He began to count to 30. A young girl with brown hair, pulled back into a ponytail, wandered down a long hallway. All of a sudden, her movements became very slow, and the music ceased. There was a deafening silence, and you couldn't even hear the sound of her footsteps. The camera began to shake and appeared as if it was gradually teetering from side to side, and I felt nauseous as I looked at the screen. She stepped through a door at the end of the hallway and into the room. There was a small door in the corner of the wall. She crouched down and began to crawl towards it. Her hand rested on the miniature doorknob, and the door swung open. The camera was lowered and the lens was fixed forward as she crawled through the narrow passage to the other side. I couldn't discern what was on the other side, but I could perceive a glimpse of a room. There appeared to be nothing. It was completely absent of furniture or doors or windows. The walls were painted red, a garish, intense red. As soon as she reached the end of the passage, the door to the entrance shut behind her. The camera displayed a different room. The boy, his forehead pressed against the wall, his hands covering his eyes, the sound of his counting was audible again. 27? 28? 29? 30? He jerked away from the wall and his hands fell to his sides. He began to explore the house, searching for the other children. He knelt down beside a table. A little girl with curly blonde hair leapt out from underneath. He peered into rooms, swung open closet doors, and peeked behind furniture. Random children appeared, popping out of their hiding places. The show came to an end, but I remember the thought lingering in my mind. They never showed the little girl with the brown hair being found. I was having trouble falling asleep the following night. For some reason, every time my mom turned off the light or left the room, and I watched the door swing shut behind her, I was filled by this strange sense of unease and dread. I knelt down beside my bed, my hands and knees pressed into the floor. I tentatively leaned forward and peered underneath the bed. I could hear the sound of my heavy, trembling breaths as my heart raced in my chest. My cheek touched the cool, hardwood surface of the floor, and my eyes frantically searched through the darkness. My stuffed rabbit lay sprawled out on the floor underneath the bed, enshrouded by black shadows. I didn't bother to reach out for it. I stood up onto my bare feet and staggered into my parents' bedroom. I asked them if I could sleep in their bed. My mom offered to escort me back to my room. As I lied down in the darkness, I heard the sound of a knocking at the window. I couldn't bring myself to turn around. My heart hammered in my chest. I heard the knocking again, like the sound of fingertips rapping against the glass pane. I glanced up. feeling the urge to scream but unable to form any sound. A black shadow appeared behind the window, standing in the frame. The door swung open. My parents rushed in. My mother knelt by my bedside. She asked me what was wrong. I tried to explain to her with tears streaming down my face that I'd seen someone outside my window. My mother explained that I had another night terror. After my father gazed out the window, he strolled outside and searched the yard, but there was no one there. The next time I watched that show, a group of children were sitting at the table. A little girl with black bangs was reading from a book, its pages covered with rows of small black letters. It sounded like the Bible, but there was something different about it. She passed the book to another child. As the boy began to read, the sense of uneasiness in my stomach increased. The words resembled the passages of the Bible, but there was something apparent about them. There was subtle nuances and deviations. In the scene that followed, the same group of children were sitting in the classroom. Their glances were fixed ahead in their seats. A dull, faint voice spoke in the background. Underneath it, I could hear this weeping sound. As the disembodied voice continued to deliver its speech to the class, it grew louder into a ceaseless wailing noise. I could hear the sound of pounding and banging. Images flashed across the screen for a brief second. In between the tape of the school children sitting in their seats, I couldn't discern the contents of all the pictures, but as they reappeared, I caught glimpses of an image of a hand appearing to belong to a child, a wailing noise growing louder in the background, the hand reaching up from an outstretched arm, fingertips scraping the wall, scratching the paint, peeling it off. Schoolgirl in one of the desks stood up from her seat and approached the front of the classroom with unsteady footsteps. She knelt over and vomited on the floor. The stream of yellowish liquid emerged from her mouth and propelled towards the ground. The tape ended, and the regular broadcast on the station resumed. I woke up the next morning to dissonant voices outside, the sounds of my mother sobbing. I don't remember much of what happened, but my parents brought all their clothes and belongings outside and carried them into a moving van before we returned to our former town. So I only caught a few words and sentences from their conversation before we left. As we gathered outside my house, my parents were speaking to the police. The police officer explained something to my mother with a solemn expression on his face, nodding in between every few seconds. I remember him talking about something regarding a children's television show being broadcast in the town. And I didn't understand everything he was saying, but I remember that he spoke about the neighbors at a religious gathering in the town. He explained that the families administered the local preschool. And he mentioned the words underground tunnels, hidden rooms. So I didn't understand why, but I could feel my heart sink into my stomach when I heard him say the words red painted room. We returned to the comfort of our former town, and I met with my friends and went to my favorite nearby parks again. And for a long time, I forgot about the isolated town, but when I grew older, it returned to my mind again. Sometimes I try to believe that most of it was just a coalescence of dreams and childhood delusions. But the images still fill my head, and all the feelings return. Memories of something I can't understand, and still can't comprehend.